This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Real cold one this morning in the New Orleans metropolitan region. I know in the city it's in the upper 30s, and that always means it'll be colder on the North Shore, north of the lake. And, you know, it bothers me when I see the local weather people, the local meteorologists say, well, make sure you bring your pets in. You know, it's sad if you're if you're a pet owner and you have to be told to bring your pets in because it's so cold outside. You suck as a pet owner, and you shouldn't be a pet owner if you need a weatherman on one of our local television stations here in New Orleans to remind you to bring your pet in. But it's a cold one this morning. It feels like the Arctic here in New Orleans. Coleman, I think it was you that asked me if I was watching the Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, they had a
documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, they had a Netflix documentary just came out recently. I haven't had a chance to see it. But I know you more, you know, you have more, you're more into sports than I am.
It's called Killer Inside. It's a 3-part documentary on Aaron Hernandez, the former tight end of the New England Patriots, who looks like he was also a serial killer. I mean, he didn't just kill one guy; he killed a few, and then he shot a couple other people that they didn't die, but and in this new Netflix series called Killer Inside, they go back to the town he grew up in Connecticut, in Bristol, Connecticut. That's actually where ESPN is located.
Okay.
And they interviewed the former quarterback of his high school football team. Aaron Hernandez was obviously a star high school football player, and as a tight end, and his quarterback was interviewed in this new Netflix documentary, and he said that he did sex with Aaron Hernandez starting in seventh grade, and they were on and off doing sex through their junior year of high school. And, well, you know, after Aaron Hernandez hung himself and killed himself in prison, people started saying he did that because he was attracted to guys, and he just couldn't deal with that. And he killed himself.
I thought it would just be going to prison after making so many millions of dollars would have been the motivation to kill yourself.
Mm. And this the kid who played quarterback of Aaron Hernandez's high school football team said that there's no way that Aaron Hernandez's father could ever find out that his son was gay. He would beat the maggot out of him, and not, the word isn't maggot,
right?
But you just change one of the letters there, and so he said that had been going on since Aaron Hernandez was in junior high school, and then he went to the University of Florida, and I think that's when he started shooting people. When he was at the University of Florida, he had issues at the University of Florida where if he didn't get in trouble off the field, he would have been a much higher NFL than he was. I mean, he had first-round talent, but because he got himself in a lot of trouble at the University of Florida, that's why he slipped to the later rounds of the NFL draft. when the New England Patriots took a chance for them. You know, the thing is, he was a real good player. I remember his rookie year watching the Patriots play the last preseason game, or it was their third preseason game. It was either the third or last preseason game. And it was the night before my fantasy football draft. And I saw Tom Brady throw the ball to Aaron Hernandez a lot, and he caught it. Now, they also had Gronk, Gronkowski. And everybody knew Gronkowski was their starting tight end, but they also had this young kid named Aaron Hernandez. Nobody ever heard of him. Nobody was very familiar with him. So in my fantasy football draft the next day, I ended up drafting him in like the 11th or 12th round, like really late, because he was a stud, a fantasy football stud from day one. He was so good, they started playing two tight ends on the field at the same time. You didn't see very many teams do that because they always had Gronkowski, but then all of a sudden this kid, Hernandez, and boy did he put up huge fantasy football numbers. But anyways, it's an interesting Netflix documentary series that's on right now, but they're interviewing his old high school quarterback, and he said, people just couldn't, they couldn't tell anybody. He said, maybe now it's a little bit different, but when they were in high school, you couldn't be in a small town like Bristol, Connecticut, being the star tight end and the star quarterback, and you're doing sex with each other.
Well, if that is true, holding that in for the entirety of your adolescence, that probably has something to do with his whole psychological, unstableness.
Maybe that's why he started shooting people.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have started shooting people if he didn't have to hide his gayness.
If that's true, it's kind of hard. It's easy to talk about somebody after they
die. Isn't the first time that this has come up.
All right. Yeah, but holding that in, I can see that. And it's a shame. It goes to show you how money doesn't really change people. You know, Aaron Hernandez, we're looking at Antonio Brown, people like that, Johnny Manziel. They're talented young men, but for some reason, they just can't get that. They just can't hold themselves in check no matter how successful they are,
I mean, just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean all of a sudden your life is going to be straightened out if you had issues before you started making money.
Exactly. It's crazy.
But that's... That's some story, and you talk about just a waste of so much talent and ability. And I always brought it up because I lived and worked, and I went to college in the Boston area. I spent about upwards of half my life in that area. And the day when he was arrested and they pulled him out of his house and he had the white T-shirt on and the handcuffs, the last day that he was ever free, he lived in a town called North Attleboro, Massachusetts, and it's a really nice town. And I remember saying on the show, can you imagine, you work your whole life to climb the corporate ladder or to climb the company ladder wherever you're at, and you're able to buy $1 million home in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, and who moves in right next door to you or right across the street from you? The tight end of the Patriots, Aaron Hernandez. At first, you'd probably be like, hey, one of the Patriots lives next door to me. But then after seeing some of the people that come and go from that place, it looked like a gang member moved into a million-dollar neighborhood. Be like, man, I worked my whole life to bust in my hump to try to make all this money so I could live in a really nice house. And then this guy moves in next to me, and it's like I got the Bloods and or the Crips living next door to me over here. So just an interesting special that was on ESPN. It's called Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. All right, coming up on the show, his college quarterback, you know who he was at Florida? Tim Tebow.
Uh-oh.
He came up on the show yesterday, Coleman.
Yeah, we was talking about him yesterday.
And we have an update. Yesterday on the show, I was saying, I thought Tim Tebow just got married. He just got married yesterday. And talk about sex. We know Tim Tebow wasn't doing sex with guys. He wasn't doing sex with girls either because he was Christian and he waited till he got married. And Miss Universe, one of the Miss Universes, is now his wife, and looks like that was worth waiting for. Stay tuned. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, we talked about social media on this show fairly often. It's got some positives. Remember going back a decade now, 10, 11 years, when a lot of people started getting on Facebook. Before Facebook, there was MySpace. But then Facebook took that to a whole different level. By the way, the guy who was in charge of MySpace, he was that guy, he had the one picture. That was his profile picture. He was wearing a white T-shirt, and the camera angle was from the left side of his face, and he was kind of looking that way. I read about that guy, and a lot of people said that he got, they feel bad for Tom because Facebook came in and made most people get off of MySpace and get onto Facebook. But Tom had sold out before all that happened, and Tom made millions and millions and millions of dollars. That's all we know about him. Tom, and he wore a white T-shirt, and we know what he looks like from the left side of his face, because that was the only picture a lot of us have ever seen of Tom. But you shouldn't feel bad for him, because he sold MySpace for millions and millions of dollars. So I don't know what he's doing now, but
he's actually doing it the right way. He got in, made an innovation, got his money, and got out. Now Mark Zuckerberg, he has to go stand before Congress and stuff. Now,
yeah,
so it looked like Tom got the best of the deal when you think about it.
It's a good point, Coleman. And there's a lot of positives of social media. I mean, you can reconnect with people you haven't seen or heard from in years, people that you went to high school with, and that's pretty neat. Families and good way to communicate. But there's also negatives about social media. I mean, at this point, Twitter, for the most part, is just an absolute cesspool of negativity. That's what Twitter's all about. And we have talked about the cancel culture in our society over the last few years. How if people don't like something that they see on television or hear on the radio, instead of doing what they used to do, just not watch that particular program or just not listen to that particular show, they want to go after it and they want to take it down. And social media has a lot to do with that, because somebody sitting on their couch in their underwear could say, hey, I didn't like what I just saw on television, or I didn't like what I just heard on the radio, or I didn't like this. And then they start a group on Facebook, you know, let's get rid of this. And then the next thing you know, they get a few thousand people, and then they get that to the management of the television station or the radio station. And now all of a sudden it's staring management in the face that, yeah, they never used to see that before, and never used to be a big deal. And I don't know if I like that, because I prefer to live in a country where if you don't like something on the television or the radio, there are plenty of other things to watch and listen to. All you have to do is just change the channel. That's how it used to be. I'd rather live in a country where there are shows that offend some people that are available to listen to or to watch than live in a country where everything has been so sanitized that we don't even have that option anymore.
I think the cancel culture has been more prominent because of social media. I remember there was a hoopla with Married with Children, but they didn't have social media back then. They would just write letters and petitions and all that and try to send that. And another thing about the cancel culture is they want these shows and movies to be canceled or these actors to not find jobs anymore. And most of the people that want them canceled never watched the shows or a fan of the actors in the first place.
They would have had no idea.
Right. Somebody posts something that outrage and, oh, I can't believe this actor said that, but they don't even watch any of the actors' movies shows.
There's no doubt about it that social media is a big reason why the cancel culture has become so big in this country. And then there's other issues with social media. For instance, this is an interesting story. Up in Massachusetts, this guy was shopping at a Target store, and he saw there was an electronic toothbrush, an Oral-B Pro 5000 electronic toothbrush that was marked for sale at 1 cent. It cost 1 penny. And that happened to be at a Swansea, Massachusetts Target store. So this guy, his name's David Leavitt, and he's got a pretty big following on Twitter. He went to buy the toothbrush for 1 penny, but when he took it to the cash register, the woman said this was mismarked.
Right.
It was priced wrong. And this really nice Oral-B electric toothbrush doesn't cost 1 cent. Well, this guy lost it, and he went to social media, and he has a bunch of followers on Twitter. This guy, David Leavitt, he has over 210,000 followers. So he took that issue to social media, to Twitter, saying, how could they do this? You know, I'm walking down the aisle. He goes, I don't have a lot of money. I haven't been able to go to the dentist in over 3 years. Yuck. So I was excited to see this electric toothbrush for only 1 cent at Target. And then they told me it was mispriced and it was a mistake and it cost more than that. And now he sent it out to his Twitter followers, and a bunch of his Twitter followers said, yeah, Target sucks, man. But then he named the manager.
Uh-oh.
Who was giving him a hard time. It's this young woman named Tori. But something cool happened. A lot of people, a lot of his social media followers decided to stand up for Tori. They nicknamed her Target Tori. And now she's become very popular. And this guy's Twitter, I guess, assault on this woman backfired. He thought someone has to be held responsible for Target making a mistake and only pricing this electric toothbrush at 1 cent. And so he picked her. But many of the people that follow this guy on Twitter said, hey, dude, she's a young woman who's working at Twitter. You think it's her fault? And he trying to make it her fault. And so now, all of a sudden, through Twitter, they have raised $30,000 for her. And they want her to take this money instead of taking this abuse from this one guy on Twitter. So that's something fairly cool. You know, this guy tried being a whatever on Twitter, mm-hmm, to put her on blast. But she ended up, as of this morning, having over $30,000 being raised for her. A GoFundMe was set up for Target Tori, the young woman in the Massachusetts Target store. And now she's coming out of this looking pretty good.
But he was an opportunist. He knew for a fact that thing wasn't really 1 cent. He was smart enough to know that. I think he was trying to be funny to a certain extent and tried to create a social media buzz just for the attention and calling out the woman Tori. And the thing is, it's good what happened to Tori, but she might not even want to be a public figure. She might not want that publicity on her.
No,
you know?
But she could probably use the $30,000 that the GoFundMe raised for. Something decent happened when someone tried pulling something on Twitter, and then it ended up, now she's Target Tori, and she's got over $30,000 coming her way through a GoFundMe that was set up, and there could be more money coming. So that, I think that's something fairly positive that happened via social media.
I wonder if she'll take it. Because if she's really an upstanding person, she could say, you know what, it's not really that big of a deal. I'm just doing my job. And she might donate it to something else. If she's really, you know, that's what I would do in a situation like that.
Coming up on the show, this year's Super Bowl tickets, they look like they're going to be the most expensive that anyone could ever buy, and that's saying something. And a fast food chain just filed for bankruptcy, and I'm sure you'll know who that is. Some people are saying, no, say it ain't so. Stay tuned for those reports coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Yesterday on the show, Tim Tebow's name came up because I was talking about how some sports star, Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
married, or he's not married yet, but he's dating his high school sweetheart. And I said, boy, could you imagine that? I mean, he's a star quarterback in the NFL now. I mean, he was a star quarterback in college, but he's been with the same girl since high school, the same young woman. I guess you could say that's pretty cool if they're really into each other. But think about all the women that would probably want to be with the star quarterback in college, and now the star quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. I brought up John Bon Jovi because he married his high school sweetheart. And you just think about the life he's lived as John Bon Jovi touring the world, looking like he does. I guarantee you women throw themselves at him. And I say, but this guy married his high school. Are you trying to tell me that John Bon Jovi has only been with one woman, and Patrick Mahomes has only been with one woman? Now, I know for a fact, like John Bon Jovi, they don't talk about their personal lives at all. But something has to be going on there, because John Bon Jovi, since the mid '80s, I mean, you just think about all of the women that wanted to do sex with John Bon Jovi, yet he married his high school sweetheart. So, you know, that always had me thinking. And then Tim Tebow's name came up on the show yesterday, Coleman. And, you know, the most famous virgin. And, you know, the guy, the Heisman Trophy winner. He was a stud quarterback at Florida. Think about all the women that wanted to be with him. And yesterday on the show, I said, didn't he just get married, or isn't he getting married soon? And I had no idea. I mean, I knew it was happening soon. He got married yesterday. And not only did he get married yesterday, he married Miss Universe from 2017. Tim Tebow. About a year after getting engaged, the Heisman Trophy winner and former Florida Gator quarterback tied the knot with a woman named Demi Lee Nell Peters.
She's a babe.
She was Miss Universe in 2017. And Tebow married her yesterday in Cape Town, South Africa.
You know what happened, right? We were talking about Tim Tebow being engaged, being in a relationship early that morning. So the woman listened to our podcast.
Oh, you think that's what it was?
And then they got the idea, you know what? These guys are right. Maybe we should just tie the knot so you can finally, you know, break the seal, so to speak.
Evidently, Monday's a big day to get married in South Africa.
I mean, it was a blue Monday. They were down and depressed. Yeah. You know, they wanted to cheer up, heard our podcast. We cheered them up, and they ended up getting married.
So I bet you last night was an incredible night for Tim Tebow. I guess some, in this particular case, I'm looking at the wedding photo. Obviously, she's stunning. She was Miss Universe in 2017. Evidently, some things are worth waiting for.
It doesn't get any better than Miss Universe. I mean, what's after that?
So, and you know, Tebow, he always said he was going to wait to do sex until he got married because of his Christian values. He's a very religious guy, a Christian guy, and he was the butt of a lot of jokes. And now Tim Tebow, I guess you can't really make any more jokes about him. If you or you know someone who used to make Tim Tebow virginity jokes, can't do that anymore.
Dude, think about it. Your first time is Miss Universe.
I know.
What can you do after that? You know, like
how many guys do you know that you're like you hooked up with her and got your friends would say, well, I couldn't do any better than that the other night. You know, I was drunk. And, well, Tim Tebow, some things are worth waiting for. See that? All right, coming up on the show, this year's Super Bowl ticket, it looks like it's going to be the most expensive ever. The prices that you see right now on SeatGeek and other secondary ticket markets, incredibly high. Stay tuned for that coming up. And speaking of the Super Bowl, this year's Super Bowl will have a first when it comes to coaching. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So I know there are a lot of Saints fans that are still upset at the way this season ended. And, you know, I know some Saints fans that are still paying attention to the NFL playoffs. I know a few other Saints fans that said, I'm doing something else with my Sundays these days. I'm not wasting my time. You know, and then again, I see on social media, there are some Saints fans that are still convinced that the NFL is rigged, that the NFL is against the Saints, and they didn't want the Saints in the Super Bowl the last 3 years with the way their season has painfully come to an end in the playoffs each of the last 3 years. Very memorable, sad endings. And I always say to those people, I said, then why do you still watch? If you're convinced it's fixed against the Saints, why would you put yourself through that? You know, and in my opinion, of course it's not fixed. You know, it's not professional wrestling. It's the NFL. You know, we don't know the outcome of the match before it starts. And I always wondered if you love the Saints, that's great, and you're convinced that New York, the big city, the NFL, they have it against the Saints, and they have it against New Orleans, and they're out to get you. Why would you continue to still watch? Why would you put yourself through that?
Here's the irony of it. When you have such a successful season, no matter how you lose, it's always going to be memorable. Whether it's a bad call or somebody was playing bad. Like the last 3 years, we've been playing pretty good, made it to the playoffs, and no matter how it ended, it's always going to be memorable because you just watched this ship sink, you know?
Yeah, especially this year, you go 13-3.
Yeah.
You didn't even get a first round bye. You had to play at home in the first round and didn't play very well. But anyways, I'm bringing this up because they're saying that this could be the most expensive Super Bowl ever with the prices of tickets soaring. If you look on the secondary ticket market, because obviously the Super Bowl, it's already sold out. People have all the tickets. And then some people will then take those tickets and then put them up for sale on the secondary market, SeatGeek.com, StubHub.com, places like that. And right now, on SeatGeek, the average resale price of a ticket, the average price is currently
$1 million.
Not quite that high, Coleman. $6,232. The average price for tickets sold in the past 24 hours was even higher than that. $6,785 for one ticket. That was the average price for tickets sold on SeatGeek.com in the past 24 hours. It must be nice having that kind of scratch laying around that you could throw it out. And that's just a ticket for the game. That doesn't include your hotel, your getting there, your airfare, getting home, obviously your food and beverages and all of that stuff. Think about it, though. If you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, this is the first time in 50 years you've been to the Super Bowl.
That's a lot of time to save up money for a ticket.
That is. And so, you know, we're still not sure if those ticket prices are gonna rise or they're gonna go down a bit. I remember the national championship football game between LSU and Clemson 8 nights ago here in New Orleans at the Superdome. Those tickets were really, really expensive. But then they came down a little bit towards the end, but they were still really, really, really expensive.
Have you been paying attention to the Pels tickets as well? Now that Zion's about to make his debut,
we're gonna talk about that. On the show. Yeah, Zion Williamson, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft by the Pelicans last draft. He plays for the first time tomorrow night here at home against the San Antonio Spurs. up until tomorrow night, you could have gone on SeatGeek or StubHub and gotten a Pelicans ticket literally for $5, $6, $7. Those prices are now much, much higher than that because people want to see Zion Williamson. He makes his return to the Pelicans tomorrow night at home. That's going to be exciting. And it's not just Pelican fans watching that. That game's on ESPN. The country, every NBA fan, many basketball fans want to watch that because they want to see the number one overall pick, the 19-year-old Zion Williamson, make his NBA debut. That's tomorrow night. Yeah, tickets are going to be sky high for that. But getting back to the Super Bowl, we'll see if those ticket prices continue to go up or continue to go down or go down. One other thing that is special about this Super Bowl, for the first time in the history of the NFL, one of the Super Bowl team's coaches is a woman. That's the first time ever. And did you know that the San Francisco 49ers have a woman coach? Her name is Katie Sowers. And this is going to be a historic Super Bowl appearance for the San Francisco 49ers because of that. Katie Sowers will make history when the team steps on the field in Miami for the Super Bowl this year. She's an offensive assistant with the team. That's all. It doesn't say, you know, usually coaches on football teams, they have titles. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, offensive line coach, defensive line coach.
Well, offensive
special
assistant.
Teams coach. Her title is offensive assistant.
Yeah, that's legit.
She will be the first female and first openly gay coach. Is that a shocker that the first female NFL coach is a lesbian? Is that a shocker?
There's more. I think the shocker is, I think the word assistant is just a pretty word for saying help. Secretary.
No. Well, she's not. She's an offensive assistant coach with the San Francisco 49ers. She'll be the first female and first openly gay coach to appear at the Super Bowl in the history of the National Football League. What's interesting about that is Major League Baseball. And again, same city. The San Francisco Giants just hired the first Major League Baseball female assistant coach. Going to be sitting in their dugout this season. So how about that? The gender boundaries, the gender walls are being broken through. They're being kicked down.
What's cool about that is she can say, no, we're not stealing signs. I just have female intuition. That's how I know it's about to happen.
Oh, boy. So how do you feel about that if you're listening? The way I look at it, if they can coach, if they're good, if they know what they're talking about, does it matter if they have breasts or not?
No, it doesn't.
Well, I should say big breasts, because we all have breasts. I mean, you and I, Coleman, we have breasts too. But I don't think it should matter if they can coach, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's the whole object of shedding light on it. Like, let's say this whole Super Bowl went through and nobody really put a spotlight on this coach, and you just saw her in the field like a regular person. I think that's the level we need to get to where it's not
where
really...
it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. But by putting a spotlight on it, it sort of makes it a bigger deal than it should be.
If you have an opinion about the first female football coach in Super Bowl history, that's Katie Sowers for the San Francisco 49ers. And again, she's the first openly gay coach, too. You could text us. Our number is 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving.
Standard data and message rate supply.
Keep them short and sweet. And if you want, put your first name or your initials at the end. And if it's good, we'll read it on the air. The way I look at it, hey, if she can coach, she can coach. It shouldn't matter male, female, somewhere in between. If they can coach football, and in the case with the San Francisco Giants baseball team, if they know baseball, if they could coach. They can coach, right? Or how do you feel about that? Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. I just put up a video on our website, bayou957.com. This father just got arrested for tackling his high school son's wrestling opponent during a match this past Saturday night in North Carolina. The video is wild. And we always hear about parents getting too involved, well, whether it's Little League Baseball or whatever the sport is. This is a high school wrestling match. You see one wrestler throw down another wrestler, his son, and evidently the father didn't like it, and he comes running out of the bleachers, and he levels, he tackles his son's high school wrestling opponent.
Paya!
And he was arrested. His name's Barry Lee Jones, and he was charged with simple assault and disorderly conduct. And wow, this video is wild. When you get a chance, check it out on our website, Bayou957.com. Again, it's a father not liking what he's seeing in his son's high school wrestling match, and he decided to take matters into his own hand, and he runs onto the mat, and boy, takes out his son's high school wrestling opponent. Boy, oh boy! Again, some parents need to enjoy watching their kids play sports instead of getting so involved. Go check out that video. It's wild. At Bayou957.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's time for us to look at today in history. And we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 21st.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Now, I'm gonna tell you this actor's name. And you may not know the actor's name, but I'm pretty sure you're going to know the actor when I tell you this. Today in 1959... actor Carl Switzer was killed. You know who Carl Switzer was? He was the actor that played Alfalfa.
Oh,
Little Rascals.
Little Rascals, okay.
Our gang. We all know Alfalfa, right? Well, that guy had some issues outside of the Little Rascals. He was always a wise guy on the Little Rascals, but he was also a wise guy in real life, too. His name, Carl Switzer. Is it Schweitzer or Switzer? Well, as a child, he played Alfalfa in the Little Rascals, the Our Gang comedies. He was shot and killed today in 1959 at the age of 31 in a fight about money. He, evidently, somebody wasn't happy with him And he said that he owed him money. And evidently the guy shot him and killed him in Southern California. You know what's wild about our gang, the Little Rascals? So many of those kids, and they're all so cute on that show and funny, so many of those kids ended up dying young and having not great lives.
Yeah, once you hit puberty, you know, your base value starts to decline if you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah, but Alfalfa, the actor who played him, ended up getting shot and killed today on this day in history. January 21st.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 2004. The Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, they sued 532 people for illegally sharing copyrighted material. So this is going back 15 years now. This is the year 2004. I guess the Recording Industry Association of America weren't happy that people were illegally downloading and sharing music with their friends and people that they knew.
Yep, that's right around that Napster time when Napster was really big.
But could you imagine being one of these 532 Americans and all you do is you love music and you got a computer and you realized and figured out how you could not only listen to this music for free, but you can download it and share it with your friends and family members. And so, and you're one of the 532 guys. Can you imagine you one day all of a sudden life is great, and then the next day I'm being sued by Columbia Records, this multi-gazillion dollar company, and I live here in Louisiana, and all I did was download a Metallica song, and I shared it with a couple of my friends, and now this giant company's coming after me.
If I was one of the 500, I'd have been like, well, what about the other 300,000 people that downloaded music as well?
Well, I don't know if that was I don't know if that was a defense, a warrant, a significant or a sufficient defense or not. January 21st.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1992. Billy Idol pleaded guilty to assault and battery charges after he beat up some guy outside of a West Hollywood, California restaurant. He was fined $2,700. I'll say the same thing. Could you imagine being the guy that says, hey, Billy Idol just beat me up? I mean, Billy Idol. And January 21st.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1978. The album for the movie Saturday Night Fever started a 24-week run at number one on the United States album charts. Think about that, 24 weeks. I'm not that good in math, but that's about 6 months. The album was number one in America for 6 months. And, you know, the Bee Gees sang and wrote and recorded most of the songs on that album. And they weren't a quote-unquote disco band before that. The Bee Gees had some good songs long before that.
Are you saying the disco songs weren't good either?
Well, they were good for a while. It was good enough for this album to sell over 30 million copies. And it was number one on the United States album charts for 6 months. You know, disco became really big fast, and then it went down really fast. And they had the disco demolition night at the old ballpark in Chicago, Kaminsky Field, where they blew up the disco records, and they burned a part of the field. And
that's
and
pretty harsh.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's how it went up fast, and everything that goes up really fast at some point has to go down too. And that's what happened with disco music. But just think about that: 6 months. I don't know if we'll ever see another album in the United States be number one for 6 months straight. And that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, we will tell you next about one of the fast food chains here in America that just filed for bankruptcy. And a lot of people are saying, no, say it ain't so. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So you like Crystal Burgers? The little hamburgers, the little cheeseburgers, Crystal Burgers. We got one on Bourbon Street here.
Not really a fan myself.
You're not a fan?
Nah.
I like Crystal Burgers. But Coleman, Crystal Burgers just announced that the corporation Crystal has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. No, say it ain't so. The little burgers, that's what their specialty is, the tiny little hamburgers. They wish their debt was tiny, but their debt is massive. Listen to this. The company says that their debt is between $50 and $100 million, and their assets are a little over $500,000.
I mean, they are small burgers.
They really are. You're right about that. They are small burgers. Crystal Burgers, they are right now, they're just a Southern fast food chain. The chain was founded in 1932 in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Their corporate offices stayed there until moving to Dunwoody, Georgia in 2013. And currently they have 360 restaurants, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. That's where you can get a Crystal Burger. And when they were founded back in 1932, the guy who introduced us all to Crystal Burgers, he got the idea from White Castle.
Figured that as much?
Yeah, White Castle, I think they're the original small, tiny burgers. And they're absolutely delicious. But I didn't mind. I didn't think Crystal Burger was as good as White Castle, but I thought if I was in the mood for a tiny little burger with cheese on it and onions, boy, the place to go was around here was Crystal Burger.
Honestly, I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did. Because, I mean, I'm a Southerner. I want a real full burger. I don't want to play around with little mini burgers. You know, the little wing restaurant that I used to work at, well, I still work at, They tried to sell sliders for a little while, and it didn't really take off because they wanted the half-pound burger, the big one. You know, nobody wants an appetizer burger. They want real, authentic, full-fledged quarter-pounders, half-pounders, Baconator triple stacks. You know, we're from the South.
That's true, but that's why you can get a sack of Crystal Burgers. You know, you don't buy, nobody buys just one or two. You get a sack.
I didn't know that.
Of Crystal Burgers. Yeah, their founder, one of their founders, Roddy Davenport, he modeled many of the features of the Crystal restaurant on Chicago's White Castle restaurants, because that's where White Castle came out of Chicago. And so, since the burgers were so small and tiny, this guy, Roddy Davenport, figured, you know, this country's big enough for another small burger, tiny burger chain. And you know, I don't know what this means for the one on Bourbon Street or many of the other Crystal Burgers, but it just was news. They just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
Have you ever been to one of those fancy restaurants where you pay $64 for a meal, and then they come back with these little tiny morsel samples of each individual item, like a little bit of potato salad, like a steak about that big, then they throw a little sauce on it, and they call that a meal. You know, they try to sell you at, this is a gourmet filet mignon, but just like a little morsel of food. That's how I look at the Crystal and the White Castle Burger.
That's much worse than Crystal Burger and White Castle Burger, because at least with Crystal and White Castle, you know what you're buying.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know the burgers
are
smaller.
I know what I'm not buying.
Well, you know the burgers are smaller. That means you're going to have to get several of them. You're going to have to get a sack of them. A sack of burgers, Coleman. Just thought they could never go wrong, but they're having some issues, and hopefully they'll be able to come out of this, and we'll still be able to enjoy them if you like the tiny little burgers with the cheese and the onions. Mm. All right, coming up next, Coleman, you follow O.J. Simpson on Twitter.
Yeah, I do.
And OJ's got a lot of Twitter followers, and because OJ gives his advice on football and now politics, and I'm sure that's why the majority of the people who follow OJ follow him. They want to know how OJ feels about football and about politics. You know, I wish OJ would let us know how he feels about, I don't know, his dead wife, her friend, what it's like killing somebody, but he doesn't talk about that on Twitter.
I think he's over it. He seems to be doing pretty well. I think the mourning process has subsided.
OJ just said something about Saints quarterback Drew Brees. You'll hear it coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. If you're just joining us, it's a wild video I just put up on our website, bayou957.com. A father in North Carolina got arrested for attacking his son's high school wrestling opponent. It's only a 25-second video. It's wild. And it's just another example of an out-of-control parent at their kid's game, or in this instance, wrestling match. And, you know, I used to, on an older radio show I did, I used to play a game called Racial Bingo. And that game was, I would tell a story like that, like this story right here in North Carolina. A high school wrestler's father wasn't happy about the way the wrestling match was going, and he ran out of the bleachers, and he started beating on his son's high school wrestling opponent. And Coleman, who's in here, you happen to be black. You're a black guy.
Yeah, you noticed.
And when you saw the video, you said, I would have gotten that one wrong on Racial Bingo. What did you mean by that?
Oh, here's what I meant. So when you first told the story about the guy, I haven't seen the video when you had talked about it. So when you talked about it, at first I thought, yeah, white guy. Because, you know, subconsciously you're always trying to put yourself, you're trying to visualize the situation. When I visualize it, I'm like, yeah, that's a white dude. But when you said the name of the guy in the store, like, wait, that sounds like a black name. So maybe it was a black parent that ran up there. So when you posted it on the Facebook page and on the website and I saw the update, I was like, oh, I would have got it wrong because it was a white dude. I should have went with my first instinct. But the name just sounded black to me.
The reason we started playing Racial Bingo on my on a past radio show I did is because whether it was a school shooting or a mass shooting or a bomb blew up somewhere, right when something like that happened, the first thing that many people think about is, well, I wonder who did it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a white guy. I wonder if it was a black guy. I wonder if it was a Muslim guy. I wonder if it was whatever the case may be.
And it was the reactions of Twitter followers, because as soon as something happened, before details get out, everybody goes to Twitter and, like, if it was a bombing, oh, it's those crazy white people again, or, oh, it's the Islamic terrorists. And before details come out, everybody's automatically assuming the culture or the race or the nationality of the person that perpetrated the crimes. And then when details are released, then you see a reaction like, ah, I told you so, you know, this, that, and the other.
When we were... In our last break, though, when Coleman told me he played Racial Bingo, it brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah.
Wow, I remember we used to play that game a lot on the radio.
Back when things were less PC and you could actually have fun.
Yeah, tell me about it. Also earlier in the show, we told you about not only how this Super Bowl coming up, it looks like it's going to be the most expensive Super Bowl ever. Ticket prices are soaring. Over the last 24 hours on the secondary. And again, all of these Super Bowl tickets, they're already sold out. The people that have them, whether they work in corporations or whatever the case may be, if they want to make some money, they then put them on the secondary ticket market, like SeatGeek.com, like a website like that. And as a matter of fact, on SeatGeek.com, the average price for tickets sold in the past 24 hours was $6,785.
Cha-ching!
Be nice to have that kind of scratch hanging around. Although, if you're a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, this is the first time in 50 years that they've been back to the Super Bowl, so that's something you might go to your savings account for. But I just thought that number was something, and we don't know if that number's going to go up or if it's going to go down. We'll see. But capitalism is something else, isn't it? And there's one other thing about this Super Bowl that is historic. For the first time ever, one of the teams in the Super Bowl has a female assistant coach. And not only female, her name's Katie Sowers, but this is the first time in NFL Super Bowl history that they're going to have an openly gay coach. And again, it's the female coach, Katie Sowers, who happens to be a lesbian. And I asked you, what did you think about that? And the way I look at it, if she can coach, does it really matter if she's a woman, if she's gay, straight, if she's a man, if she's somewhere in between? That doesn't really matter. As long as this person can coach, that's all that matters, right? And we asked you to text us.
Yeah, here we go. Chad from Slidell says, I don't see a problem with things aren't the way they used to be in the old days. Women do just as much as men, so why should coaching be any different? Jeff says, I'm a male with big breasts, but I couldn't coach football.
Interesting.
Yeah. Kenny says, I don't care. Everyone is a lesbian.
Most guys would admit to being lesbians.
All right. This texter says, a gay female coach, only in California. I'm not sure about that one. I'm sure they have some gay coaches sprinkled around here and there. They're just not open about it.
And what's interesting about this is the baseball team there in San Francisco, the Giants, they just made history by announcing they're, for the first time in Major League Baseball, they're going to have a female assistant coach sitting in the dugout there.
All right. This is by far my favorite text. It's short and sweet. They just didn't put their name on it. It just says, shut up. See, that would have been the perfect test had they put their name after it, but they just, it's short, it's sweet, and it got to the point they just didn't.
They didn't tell us how they felt about the historic first woman ever coaching a football team in the Super Bowl.
That is also true.
No. Anyways, no matter what we're talking about, we love it when you text us. We always say keep them short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end if you want us to know who you are, and don't text while you're driving.
Also, standard data message rate apply.
Coming up on the show, O.J. Simpson is on Twitter. Coleman follows him. He doesn't talk about things like his dead wife or killing people. He talks about football, and now he's talking about politics. Yeah, that's exactly what people want to hear from O.J. Simpson. But he said something about Drew Brees, and we'll tell you about that coming up. Well, he'll tell you about that coming up. O.J. on Twitter here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. China's birth rate has hit its lowest level in 70 years. As a result, many factories there have been forced to hire adults. Did you see that? You know, China, for a long time, they were long known for their one-child policy. That took effect in the late 1970s there in China because population was growing like crazy and they wanted to slow it down. But boy, it's like I just mentioned, it's lower than it's been in a long time. And now the government in communist China, by the way, are telling people to have two kids. Wouldn't that be something if your government told you how many kids you could have?
That would be pretty weird.
You know, some Americans could use that advice. No. But boy, that's something, how China's birth rate is the lowest now that it's been in decades. And they're not the only country. There's some other countries, and they're trying to figure out what to do about that for their future. They say, you know, this could make their future questionable.
Wait, they're trying to figure out how to make more people?
No.
I mean, it should be pretty simple. They're doing a good job, what, before the 70s?
Hey, coming up next on the show, O.J. Simpson is on Twitter. Coleman over here follows him, and he doesn't talk about the stuff we really want him to talk about, but he thinks that we want to hear how he feels about politics, among other things, and football. And he said something about a New Orleans Saint. O.J. Simpson on Twitter. Look out. And that's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
IU 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So O.J. Simpson is on Twitter, and he's got almost 1 million people following him now on Twitter. And what's amazing about O.J. Simpson on Twitter is he comes on with a straight face and he smiles a lot and jokes around a lot. And he gives you advice about football. He gave advice about fantasy football. And now he's dabbling in politics a little bit. That's what people want to hear from O.J. Simpson if he's going to make videos on Twitter and tell you how he feels about things.
Yet, almost a million people seem to like it.
Well, the best part, Coleman, about O.J. Simpson being on Twitter, no matter what he talks about in his videos, the comments that are underneath his videos, the comments are very entertaining. And, you know, I'm sure people would love to know how O.J. Simpson feels about his late wife and things like that. But O.J., he's got blinders on. You know, he got out of jail, and he's living out in Las Vegas now. And someone told him about Twitter, and he absolutely loves it. You mean I can go on here and tell people exactly how I feel about things? And as a matter of fact, underneath his name on Twitter, it says, if you didn't hear it here, I didn't say it. I guess O.J. doesn't like the rumors and the jokes and the things that are told about him. So he wanted to try to end all of that speculation. And so he's got an official O.J. Simpson Twitter page, and he makes videos fairly regularly talking about the things I just mentioned. And in one of his latest videos, he just mentioned a New Orleans Saint.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. What they got a little irritating is on a couple of sports shows, they seem fixated on naming the greatest quarterback of all time. And, of course, they were talking about Patrick Mahomes. Well, he's only been in the league 2 years, kind of early for that. Dan Marino is the best pure arm talent that I've seen, not necessarily the best quarterback yet that I've ever seen. You know, if you in football, they call Tom Brady the GOAT. If you use that criteria, the criteria of six championships, and that's why he's called a GOAT, you would have to call Yogi Berra the GOAT of baseball because he won 10 championships and two or three more as a coach. And basketball would be a little more difficult, but the GOAT by far would be Bill Russell with 11 professional championships. What's funny, in football, if you went on statistics, it'd be two guys way ahead of everybody else, and that would be Jerry Rice and another guy who didn't even make the NFL 100 all-time teams, Drew Brees. Who's voting on this stuff? I'm just saying. Take care.
That should make Drew Brees feel pretty good, that O.J. Simpson's in his corner.
He seems pretty happy, though. He's laughing. He's enjoying life. I don't know. See, the whole Nicole thing was, that was like 30 years ago. People still aren't over it yet, and he's gotten over it. And
not,
if he can
not
do
quite
it,
that long ago, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, if he can get over it, everybody else can. He's moved on. I'm quite sure he went through the mourning process. He shed all the tears that he had to shed. And I'm quite sure, you know, he's okay now. I think he's okay with it.
I mean, do you want to know how O.J. Simpson feels about football players like that, or politics, or why doesn't he make a Twitter video about what kind of knives he uses now that he's out of jail and he's home and he's allowed to have knives again, like the quality of knives.
Well, he's not a chef, so I don't think that's his area of expertise. He did play football for a little while though, so he knows a little bit about sports, you know.
But you talk about somebody that's living with blinders on. Someone showed him about Twitter. He absolutely loved it. I love Twitter. I could talk to my fans and I could talk to anybody I want to. And then this will end all the rumors and speculation about whether I said something or I didn't say something. Because if I didn't say it here on Twitter, then I didn't say it.
Yeah, that's because they thought he was probably the illegitimate father of one of the Kardashians. That's how he ended up on Twitter. That's the origin story of why he got on Twitter, to dispel the Kardashian rumors that one of the Kardashians may be his.
Yeah, that one who doesn't look like the other two.
Yes. They're still trying to figure out who's the legitimate father.
Well, from what I heard, and I believe that's Khloe Kardashian. She's she's the bigger one. She's had all kinds of plastic surgery and everything because she wants to look like her other two sisters who do have the same father. But I heard that was their mother's affair with a hairdresser.
Maybe.
And she was the result of that, but not O.J. Simpson. But didn't he clear up that rumor saying, I'm not the father of Khloe Kardashian?
That was the origin of O.J. on Twitter.
So that's why he got on Twitter, and then, okay.
To dispel that rumor. But when I see O.J. out there playing golf, and he's enjoying life, and he seems happy with himself, it shows you how much of a relief it is to get toxic people out of your life. You know, now he's in solitude, he's okay, and he's at peace, you know?
There's a guy living completely in his own world, Coleman. Completely in his own world, and maybe one day on Twitter he'll make a video that people actually want to hear his opinion on. Again, anything to do with his past when it came to his wife, who's not with us anymore.
Why live in the past, though, John? Why live in the past? Let's just move forward, keep everything peaceful and happy.
That's what O.J. says.
You don't want to trigger any past memories. He might flip out, you know.
Hey, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about a police force in a town who is cautioning people about highly addictive Girl Scout cookies. And this police force is telling people what they should do with their Girl Scout cookies. We'll explain coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So last year in 2019, wine sales in America, there was a downtick in wine sales. And it was the first time in a long time that has happened. And so, you know who Kelly Ripa is, don't you?
She sounds familiar. I think she did the little talk show with...
Yeah, she still does.
Okay.
She does it now with that guy Ryan Seacrest. It's a daytime talk show that they do. It's called Live with Kelly and Ryan. That's one of his 39 jobs that he has. But Kelly Ripa has been there for a while. And full disclosure, I've always been attracted to Kelly Ripa. She's 49 years old now, and I think she's really really attractive. And so yesterday on their show, they were talking about the fact that in 2019, wine sales were down in the United States for the first time that they can remember. And Kelly Ripa then said, that's because I quit drinking. Evidently, Kelly Ripa used to drink a lot of wine. And so when they talked about that story yesterday on their show, she said, I bet you that those wine sales are down in 2019 in America because I quit drinking. And she didn't say why she decided to quit drinking, but she did say she quit drinking right at the same time Ryan Seacrest became her co-host on that show. And that was at some point last year. But it got me to thinking, I bet you Kelly Ripa would be a blast drunk. Wouldn't she be fun to hang out with drunk?
Maybe wine drunk. See, that's the thing. Did she say she quit drinking altogether? Or did she say she just quit drinking wine?
She said she quit drinking.
Hmm.
Again, they did this story about how in 2019, for the first time, alcohol sales in America, or wine sales in America, dipped. And then she decided to throw in the joke, that's because I quit drinking. And it just got me thinking, boy, I bet you I would love to hang out with Kelly Ripa if she's drunk. Is there any famous women that you think would be a blast to hang out with if they were hammered?
Oh man, maybe Ellen DeGeneres. She just seems like an upbeat person. I want to see what her drunk personality
but Coleman,
is like.
A, she's a lesbian. She doesn't like people like you. And B, I'm talking about hanging out with a woman when she's drunk. I mean, really, Ellen DeGeneres?
I know she's from here. John,
but
we don't condone taking advantage of women while they're intoxicated. I thought you meant like hanging out, like partying with. I didn't know you meant like
What goes along with hanging out with a woman when she's drunk? And I'm not talking about taking advantage of anybody.
She's drunk. Yeah, she's drunk. I would like to see what Ellen DeGeneres is like when she's drunk. That's my person. I want to see what her other personality is, because she just seems too upbeat and happy to the point where it's unbelievable. I think she has a dark side, and I think the alcohol would bring it out of her.
Oh, okay. Well, they always say when you're drunk, your true personality comes out.
Yeah.
That's what they always say.
Like, remember the New Year's show with Kathy Griffin when she was completely smashed?
First Ellen DeGeneres, now Kathy Griffin. Coleman, I'm talking about women that most guys would want to hang out with if they were drunk.
I can't imagine most guys
wouldn't want to hang out with any of those two, whether they were drunk, sober, or anything in between.
It's not that they're hot. It's just that they seem like they would be entertaining when they're drunk. If you want to have a good time and you want to see somebody make a fool of themselves while they're drunk, Kathy Griffin seems like the type of person you'd want to watch.
All right. Well, geez, I was talking about hanging out, Coleman.
That's what I'm talking about, too.
Talk about a buzzkill. We're talking about which women you want to hang out with if they were drunk. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, it makes you wonder, you hear that song, Queen, Fat Bottom Girls? And it makes you wonder if that song, if it came out today, if it would be able to be played on the radio. Or there'd be so much offense. I'm sure there'd be some people that are completely offended saying, what do you mean, fat bottom girls? How could you write a song like that? And wait a minute, the singer doesn't even like girls. How could he be this sexist song? How could they be singing about things like this?
If you come across some of the urban stations, you have artists like Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. That's all they're talking about is their fat bottoms. So I'm quite sure it'll pass.
Well, I guess they're allowed to because it's their fat bottoms they're talking about. They're not talking about other fat bottom girls.
Oh, well, then there's other rappers, male rappers, that do rap videos that encourage women to shake their fat bottoms in so many ways, shapes, or forms. They say, twerk it, shake it, move it. And it seems to be okay on other stations, so.
Well, thanks for that, Coleman. Since it's 8:35 on our show, this is the time of the morning where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Deaf man sues Pornhub over lack of closed captioning in porn videos. Evidently, there are people who do want to hear what people are talking about in pornography videos. And this deaf guy is suing Pornhub because of that. There's a lawsuit going on in New York, and Pornhub, which is a Canadian-based business, and they're being sued for failing to include closed captioning in their adult pornography videos. The man suing, he happens to be deaf, and evidently, he really is interested when there's a knock on the door and a delivery man shows up and starts having a conversation with the very attractive woman who ordered something to be delivered. This guy wants to hear what they're talking about. His name is Yaroslav Suris.
Great young man.
And he is an American man, and he happens to be deaf. Pornhub is named in the lawsuit along with its sister sites, YouPorn and RedTube. And the company that owns all of them, that company is called MindGeek. The lawsuit claims Pornhub is violating the rights of people who are deaf and hearing impaired under the Americans with Disabilities Act, because most of their videos lack closed captioning. You know, closed captioning for the hearing impaired. That's the closed captioning. They're the words you see at the bottom of the screen.
Two plot holes in this theory. One, if Pornhub is a Canadian-based company, why should they have to adhere to the Americans Disability Act? You know, they're not in America. They're in Canada. Two, Pornhub doesn't produce the videos, so they shouldn't be responsible for the closed captioning of the videos. It's like a streaming service for different porn companies that put the videos on these sites. So I don't think they should be responsible for going to all the millions of movies and putting ooh, space, ah on it.
Well, you bring up good points, Coleman. And, you know, when I saw the Americans with Disabilities Act is being cited in this lawsuit that the deaf man has against Pornhub because there's no closed captioning and he can't hear what they're saying. Do you know that there's disability porn? There are some people, you call them sick, whatever you want. Hey, different strokes for different, you know, it takes all different types to make this world go around. But there are some people who, that's what does it for them.
I can believe that, yes.
Watching disabled people do sex.
Disabled people have to have sex too, so there's nothing wrong with
sure
that.
Sure they do.
That's what you're into.
And evidently some people like watching that.
But it makes me wonder if he's reading the closed captions on the Pornhub. How does he compensate for that when he has actual real sex? Does the girl type a message on her phone so he can read it or something like that? Like, how does he engage in actual real sex if he can't hear?
I don't know about his personal life. I'm reading a story about a lawsuit. And Mr. Suris claims that it's hard for him to enjoy many Pornhub videos because he can't keep up with the conversation because he's deaf. He couldn't follow the plot of a police interrogation or a disciplinary moment involving a babysitter, according to court documents. So he's writing specifics in these movies that he couldn't follow.
Yeah, he wants context. That's what he's looking for.
He also saw no point in signing up for Pornhub's premium subscription service because those videos do not accommodate people who are deaf or hearing impaired with closed caption on the bottom of the screen.
Now that's a first. He's willing to actually pay money for porn. Wow.
Did you know that Pornhub is the most robust adult video site on the planet? They have over 100 million daily visitors, and they have over 100 billion video views each year.
Guilty.
So we'll see how this lawsuit goes. Again, American man Yaroslav Suris is suing Pornhub because he can't hear what they're saying, and he wants them to have closed captioning for the hearing impaired. He wants the words to be written out on the bottom of his screen. But wouldn't the words get in the way of what he's trying to watch?
Not if they put it at the bottom at the subtitles.
You think he's going to win this lawsuit, or maybe no, because Pornhub is based out of Canada?
It'll be interesting to see.
And this is, again, an American courtroom, and he's citing the American with Disabilities Act. Fascinating stuff. Well, the deaf man suing Pornhub over a lack of closed captioning in porn videos. The dumbest thing I read all morning. And it's dumb not because he's deaf. It's just because I didn't realize people actually wanted to hear what was being said in pornography videos. I had no idea. Learn something new all the time here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So there's a police force in a town in Ohio who made national headlines. They did something pretty funny. The town is Ravenna, Ohio. Is that how you would pronounce that? R-A-V-E-N-N-A. Ravenna, Ohio. Never heard of it before.
Close enough.
But their police department put out a post on Facebook, on their Facebook page, warning citizens to be on the lookout for a highly addictive substance that is about to hit the streets. The first thing people are thinking about, oh no, what are we talking about? Opioids? Fentanyl? No, we've heard all of those horror stories about sort of illegal drugs. But no, it wasn't either of those. They said Girl Scout cookies. And they're saying because this, it's now's the time of the year where Girl Scout cookies hit the streets, that in that town in Ohio, you better be careful because they're extremely addictive. And this is what they wrote on their police force's Facebook page. These items go by a variety of names like Thin Mints, S'mores, and Lemonades, just to name a few. These items are distributed by strong, smart, fearless young women who will lure you in with their story and get you hooked. We know many people think, I will just get one box. But one turns into two, and two turns into five. And the next thing you know, you are hiding Thin Mints in the freezer. And then they end their Facebook post by saying that their police are volunteering to be a disposal location. If you see any policeman in that town walking around, look at that particular policeman or policewoman as a disposal outlet, a disposal location where you could dispose of these highly addictive, dangerous treats. Are you a Girl Scout cookie fan, Coleman?
Not really. I mean, it is good on them. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, but they're delicious. Are you telling me? Problem is, I mean, how can you? They say Lay's potato chips. That's the snack that, you know, it's impossible to eat just one.
Yeah.
Same as with Girl Scout cookies. You start eating Girl Scout cookies, yeah, and, you know, your heart's in the right place. I'm helping out the Girl Scouts. They need it. You know, obviously, you want to support the Girl Scouts.
But after you had a macadamia cookie from Subway, it changed your whole perspective of what a good cookie is.
Well, we could do a whole segment about cookies, but I was just thinking about the Girl Scout cookies and pretty funny police force up there. So now cops are walking around, and they're literally dispensaries for these Girl Scout cookies, according to their Facebook page. Coming up next on the show, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So since we're in the year 2020, what some people, really rich people, are doing, they're helping pay it forward by tipping $2,020, when they go places. And I've read a few stories. I know the Mark Wahlberg's brother, the actor Mark Wahlberg, his brother Donnie Wahlberg, he's also an actor. He was in The New Kids on the Block. He's now married to Jenny McCarthy.
Wow.
There was a story how they went out right after New Year's and they went to a casual place to eat and they left a $2,020 tip. And I've seen that with some other celebrities. I mean, you know, for rich people, tipping someone $2,020 is nothing. Some would say it's something that they should do more of. But if they're going to do that, we really shouldn't know about it. And I'm gonna explain this next story here that I was just reading. Some woman who's famous on YouTube just did it, but she then put it on her YouTube channel.
Ah, so it wasn't the person that tipped that glorified it; it was the celebrity herself.
Exactly.
Ah, virtue signaling.
Now, if you do something like that, or if you donate to charity, or you help people out, you should do it out of the kindness of your heart, and you should do it not to promote yourself. You shouldn't bring attention of that to yourself. The story here, some YouTuber named Gabby DiMartino, she got a Domino's pizza delivery, and the bill was $22.21. And she tipped $2,020 because she's rich and she's got the money. And, you know, and the Domino's driver was thrilled. And, you know, if the Domino's driver wanted to go public with it, that's one thing. But the woman, the YouTube vlogger, the YouTuber, Gabby DiMartino, who gave the $2,020 tip, she's the one that then told people on her YouTube channel.
Yeah.
There's something that's wrong about that. Again, if you're going to do that because you're able to, you're fortunate enough to be able to tip people $2,020 because it's the year 2020, then you shouldn't be the one that's telling people about it.
What I'm hearing from this is I should go to California and start filling out some job applications to be a delivery driver.
Well, I don't know if it was just in California. I don't know where Mark Wahlberg's brother Donnie. I don't remember where that was. But then there were a few other celebrities. And again, it wasn't Donnie Wahlberg who went to the press and said I did this. It was the waitress at that restaurant. Said Donnie Wahlberg and Jenny McCarthy. They had like a $60 meal. That was their tab, and they ended up tipping me $2,020 because it's the 2020 pay it forward. But if you're going to do something like that, that's great. But I think you ruin it when you tell people you're doing that. Thank you for listening to our show. We appreciate it. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! Two for Tuesday starts in 5 minutes. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.